listening to Rumination Thursday, Law and Gospel, where we take a look at various subjects, and this being a Reformation Sunday we're celebrating this coming Sunday, we will want to talk about the Reformation, and with us, as usual, is our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I got a little announcement, first of all, to make here before we get started. You have been talking about that there's a program for shut-ins. And I got an email from Paul, and then I told Andy Bates about this, and he says one of his good friends actually runs the program, and you can get it on the computer, even though it's on some television stations. It's called worshipforshutins.org.
Yep. It's an excellent, excellent series.
Okay. We don't get it in St. Louis. Do you get it in Springfield?
Yeah, it comes through our cable.
Really?
On Sunday morning at about 7:30.
Well, I'm sure if you look it up on the computer, and if you don't have a computer, have a friend look it up, and they can tell you in what cities it's being broadcast. worshipforshutins.org. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Also interesting today, I did the promo for tomorrow, Open Mic Friday. But when I walked in, there were about 20 or 30 students from St. John's Arnold. So I asked them, could they help me out with the promo? So when you're listening to tomorrow's promo for Law and Gospel, which is Open Mic Friday, you're going to hear voices say, "Listen to Law and Gospel." And I charge each kid $5 to be in the student. No, I didn't do that, but all righty. We want to take a look at Reformation. Now, a lot of times when we talk about the Reformation, we're talking about the advantages that occurred in the 16th century over the Roman Catholic Church. But what I wanted to do today with Rumination is kind of look at things that we're dealing with today, not just the Roman Catholic Church that continues to teach that we're saved by faith plus works, but other organizations. And my wife was reading one of the daily newspapers that come to our house, and they had a whole page article with the top called God's Laws and the Ten Commandments. And all it was, I mean, the whole article was about keeping the Sabbath day. And it was a church that has worship services on Saturday. But the way they got around that is they did quote from the Old Testament, but they said some things that were very interesting. He was saying that, and they used Bible verses, like from 1 John 5, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And this is the love of God," 2 John 6, "that we walk after his commandments." And a whole bunch of passages where the commandments are very important. So we don't agree that the Sabbath day has to be on Saturday. What distinction is this church missing?
Well, that the ceremonial law
Excellent.
From the Old Testament was fulfilled in Christ's death and resurrection.
Yes, each moral law has a ceremonial part to it. For example, on the Sabbath day, the ceremonial part is worshiping on the seventh day, Saturday, not picking up manna on the seventh day, and all kinds of things like that. But In the New Testament, I believe there's a Bible verse that talks about that they were worshiping on the first day of the week.
I'm thinking, I'm hunting it up right now. I believe it's Acts 20, verse 7.
Oh, excellent. Acts 20, verse 7. And then Paul also speaks out against that we can't be arguing about Sabbaths and things like that. Because it's clear that the early church worshipped also on the first day of the week, because that was the day of the resurrection of Jesus.
Right, yep. Yeah, in Acts 20, verse 7, it says, "The first day of the week, we gathered together to break bread."
Yes, and here's what they said. Let's see. Never, this is a sentence from this article, never once do they refer to Sunday as a holy day. And you just gave an example. So, see, the Reformation is critical because it gives us the ability to have distinctions and the moral law, the civil law, as well as the ceremonial law. We Christians are no longer bound to the civil or ceremonial laws of the Old Testament books. In fact, I'm surprised that if a church looks at the ceremonial law of the Sabbath as being necessary to follow, how come they're not slaughtering animals at the altar? Because that's also in the Old Testament books.
Yeah. But it's also to remind ourselves one day of the week is not any better than any other day of the week. Hebrews 10 reminds us not to forsake our assembling, not our church going, that we should gather together and worship, whether it be Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so forth.
Yes, at Trinity Orchard Farm, we obviously have Sunday, and I said, do we worship any other days? And I reminded them of Advent and Lenten Wednesdays, Monday, Thursday,
Good Friday,
and sometimes you'll have funerals on either Saturday or Monday. The only day that I'm unaware of churches having a regular church service is on Tuesdays.
Tuesday.
Do you know any day, any church that worships on Tuesdays?
No. But you forgot one other special holiday that we sometimes overlook.
And
Ascension Day.
What?
Ascension Day.
Oh, right. That's Thursdays, too.
Yeah.
And a lot of times churches don't do that and because they don't get that large a crowd out, and the pastor wants to emphasize Ascension, so he usually keeps it for the following Sunday.
Right. All Saints Day, you know, that's coming up after Reformation. Some do it on that November 1st. Others do it to the nearest Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that's correct. All Saints Day. That this time will be a Tuesday.
Right.
Because the big celebration is Halloween, right?
Right.
No, it isn't.
The Reformation.
That's right. If you're going to call it Halloween, you say Hallowed Eve.
Eve, yes.
Yes, because there's something there. But, yeah, I've never really figured out when the Reformation is during the week, how you decide which Sunday you celebrate it. Have you ever heard how they decide that?
No, we always did it to the nearest Sunday.
Well, yeah, but if Reformation is on Wednesday, what's the nearest Sunday? I know. And that's interesting that when the Reformation is during the week, I don't know of congregations that have special Reformation services. They always wait for Sunday.
Yeah, early on when I started out in ministry, you know, we would try doing it during the week. And like you say, the crowds were slim, so we moved it to the nearest Sunday.
Well, getting to the main point then is how do you see the Reformation as a worldview that is having an impact on the worldviews of our day? Is it still a helpful understanding of Reformation teaching compared to the world's worldview?
I think it's more important today than it's ever been. You know, we're coming up, of course, this next week celebrating the 499th Reformation, next year being the 500th anniversary.
Yes.
And, you know, in this last couple of weeks, I ran across some people that talked about purgatory, their relatives dying and going to purgatory, ran into some folks that talked about work righteousness and, you know, the Reformation, really, you talked to it yesterday about faith and works and not works and faith and necessity to believe in the promises of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I want to back up where you said today it's more significant. I read an article that will back up what you just said. In the day of Martin Luther, there weren't all these different religions. Pretty well, the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans, they both agreed that their sins were forgiven when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus was their Savior. The difference, the big difference in the Reformation at that point was, how do we receive the benefits of Christ's death and his resurrection? And that was a big difference. But today, we're dealing in a totally more significant situation with particularly the nuns. And will you explain what I mean by nuns?
Well, a nun is N-O-N-E-S, that claims to have no denominational religious affiliation.
And therefore, it's much more difficult because we don't have a common understanding of God. Many of the nuns left the church because they were taught evolution, which, of course, does not necessitate a God at all and contradicts many passages of the Old Testament, like 6 24-hour day creation, that Adam and Eve, through their sin, brought death into the world. Evolution contradicts all of those notions. And when the Enlightenment occurred, which was a time when people were told that they needed to have a rational reason for whatever they believed, what happened is, of course, the supernatural was just kicked out, because supernatural events simply don't occur from a rational point of view.
Oh my, you know, but it's, you know, what's interesting when you discuss all of this is, you know, our Senate has that Reformation site that, what is it, LutheranReformation.org, where they can go and get a lot of information about the Reformation itself. And in particular, the theme that they have selected is still about Jesus.
Yes. My good friend, Pastor Randall Golter, was made special assistant to President Harrison for this purpose of preparing the Senate for the 500th anniversary. And you can go, and they have plenty of resources there to help get across to other people why the Reformation is still important today. And we've just mentioned a few, like helping people understand that the Sabbath on Saturday is a ceremonial law, not a moral law, and then taking a look at nuns, knowing that what is getting them messed up is a wrong view of reality. Go ahead.
I'm glad that you brought up Pastor Golter. You know, we're having him as our guest speaker this coming Sunday afternoon at Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois.
Wow. Yeah, he was my field worker.
Really?
And he took a graduate year, and we put him in a house next door to the parsonage. And you know why we did that?
Why?
Because we both had little Honda motorcycles and went play tennis 3 times a week.
Well, he's not going to talk about tennis. He's going to be talking about his still about Jesus.
No, well, he was with me for that 1 year in his graduate program. He brought more people into the church than I did because he was in charge of evangelism, etc. Then he became, of course, a pastor in Wyoming and then district president in the Rocky Mountain District. And now he's special assistant to the president, working full-time in this area of Reformation. So definitely take a look at lcms.org and look up Reformation, and you'll get a lot of resources that the congregation can use, because our people need to understand the worldview of the Reformation, because it contradicts their old Adam worldview.
Right, and in particular, and I think it was very well said yesterday on your program where you talked about faith and in the promises of Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And that works come after that, not before that. And we live in a very works-righteous, conscious, I think, world today.
in the secular world, so many people get ahead because of their works. They go to the next grade because they got good grades. They maybe find a spouse because they work on it. They get promoted because they work on it. So when it comes to religion, many people just suppose and conclude that getting right with God operates in the same way, namely by your works. And therefore, every religion in the world, except Christianity, teaches that you get right with God. He likes you, then loves you, then maybe saves you on the basis of what you do. You have a kind of a favorite phrase you use between... Go
doing
ahead.
Done. You know, when we talk about religion, is the work righteous method. It says you got to keep doing in order to seek out God's favor. And done is through Jesus Christ, who's died upon the cross. He's done everything for us.
Yes, with the privilege I have at Trinity Orchard Farm in teaching the confirmands, I'm learning that the main goal of confirmation is not just the memory work, even though they do that, but the main goal is to help them get a worldview that is in agreement with God's worldview. And therefore, the teaching is quite different.
You know, yeah, and you mentioned that yesterday where you had talked to them about how Jesus became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for our sake.
Yes, and see, that's, I love doing questions because that was one of Jesus' main ways of teaching, by asking questions. And so I asked them, is Jesus sinless? They answered yes. Is he a sinner? They answered no. And then I was able to show them from 2 Corinthians that, yes, God declared him to be sin for us so that he might take upon ourselves the punishment of our sin.
Yeah, you know, one of the favorite questions that you typically ask that I like asking out there?
No.
If you die and you're in heaven, who do you give all the credit to?
Yes. Yeah, that really shows if a person is a Christian. I have not had anyone answer it correctly who is not a Christian. And
right.
That means Lutherans, Presbyterians, Roman Catholics. The only people that do not answer that correctly would be strong Mormons or Muslims or Baha'is or somebody who is not part of a Christian religion.
So really, what we say, one of the very central points, or the central point for us when we celebrate the Reformation, is that gospel of Jesus Christ and trusting in his promises that he's given to us through his suffering, death, and resurrection.
Yes, I was writing the newsletter article, and I always do what Pastor Gunn always did. He quoted a section of the Confessions, and the one I quoted, in fact, I was surprised it was that clear in the Confessions. It was saying that what is saving faith is not believing in the history of the Bible. And they even used the Apostles' Creed and said, you know, it's not sufficient to believe that those events occurred, because what saving faith is believing the promises connected to those events. And so I made the point, even if you could prove that Jesus existed or that he died or he rose, that doesn't do any good, because people need to realize that what saving faith is believing, and you said it, the gospel promises, not the promises of the law or the promises of history.
Right, and you pointed that out so many other times where you talk about James, that the devils had faith, but it was historic faith, not saving faith.
Yes, and for a while the Roman Catholics were thinking that that's what the Lutherans meant, that we are saved by faith alone, because all they could imagine is the faith in the Bible. But we know very well the Pharisees believed all the history of the Bible. They believed in 6 24-hour-day creation, and that Noah's flood had covered the whole earth, and that David existed, Solomon existed. But Jesus then would look at them because they didn't believe the promises and say their father was the devil.
Right. Well, it kind of comes to the three alones or three solas that we talk about, and then you add that fourth sometimes, you know, faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone. And the fourth is
Christ alone.
Yeah.
Yes, David Scare makes a big point of that. He's a professor at Fort Wayne. Is that anytime you're talking about the gospel, it always is about Jesus and specifically the forgiveness of sins.
You betcha.
And that's what every sermon needs to be. And so when I was reading this article from this remnant Seventh-day Church of God, there was no gospel in it anywhere.
No, Jesus was left behind.
Yes. Yeah, the only time they used Jesus was, well, he also worshipped on the Sabbath. Well, of course he did at that time because he was still following the ceremonial laws until his crucifixion and his resurrection. And after that, there was a lot of controversy in the early church as to whether or not new Christians needed to be circumcised and this kind of thing. And guess what? Paul said, no. They do not. Those were Judaizers, namely Jews that become Christians, but were still having trouble no longer following the ceremonial laws.
Right. And as we said before, it isn't one day of the week versus another day of the week. It's the fact that we assemble together and worship and give glory to the one who's done it all, Christ our Lord.
Well, we're having a youth all-night thing in a couple of weeks at Trinity, and I'm sure there's going to be a devotion there. And they're staying up all night Friday until Saturday morning around 7 or 8 in the morning having breakfast. But I guarantee you that during those devotions, that's not going to be on a Sunday, but God will recognize it as appropriate worship.
Oh, yes, and you're going to stay with them all night?
I'm trying to find out what the food is. That'll make the decision.
Pizza, hot pizza.
You know, I don't know. They won't tell me. But I'll probably, you know, be there because it's always enjoyable with the kids and such. I mean, it's a great bunch of kids, both in the parochial school, and they're even inviting the public school confirmands. The woman who was in charge of that came into my class on Tuesday night and spent some time talking to them, encouraging them to come also. And the whole goal here is to provide a worldview for these children so that when they get confronted by the worldview outside the church, namely in a lot of public schools, colleges, etc., they will be sustained in their faith and not fall into the grasp of Satan.
You know what? We used to do that, too, when I was in the parish ministry. And we had this game called Family Feud, where we took what we learned in confirmation and divided up into two teams, and we would ask the questions, you know.
Well, that's interesting. And so would you have up on the board the... How would you do that? Because Family Feud says, okay, they took a survey. What is the food most people like? And then they would answer. And if it was on the survey, they won. Would it be something like that?
Something close to that. And the more modified version is who got the correct answer and got the prize. And, you know, you had points for the team and things of that nature.
Yes.
The idea was just to spend some time. I mean, from a pastor's point of view, we were doing some reviewing of worldview, so to speak, and trying to internalize some of the teaching that they've learned.
Yes, I always make a point what I'm doing. Like in a sermon, I'll mention the words law and gospel because we need to get our people to start looking at the Bible from a law and gospel point of view than just read the English. And so I mentioned worldview a lot during the confirmation, saying, okay, here's the worldview on the one hand, and here's God's worldview. And by doing that, I think they're coming to a better understanding.
Good for you. It's great.
When are you preaching next?
This Sunday at 9 a.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church over on Park Avenue in Manitoba, Illinois. And then in the afternoon, we got Randy Golder coming to Zion Lutheran Church over on Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois at 3 p.m.
Okay. Are you having a meal or anything?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because I'll give you a hint. He likes Chinese food.
It's going to be bratwurst.
Oh, well, make it the way the Chinese people make it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. What's your name? Wes Reimnitz? Yes.
It's great to be with you.
Okay. We'll look for you next Thursday. And that was Wes Reimnitz. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow is Open Mic Friday. And we'd love to answer your questions about the Reformation. You can email me at longgospel@longgospel101.com. Till tomorrow, Open Mic Friday then. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.